Baseball great Ty Cobb played 3,033 games and led the American League in batting averages for 12 years, certainly unheard of. But his spiritual life had not kept pace with his sporting life. His conversion came near his death in 1961, and he said this, "You tell the guys, I'm sorry that it took the last part of the ninth inning that I came to know Christ. I wish it had taken place the first half of the first inning." The point of that is that it's never too late to change course. It's never too late to change one's mind and to ask for God's mercy. Cobb took a page right out of the readings for the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time from Ezekiel and Matthew's Gospel. Ezekiel was a prophet in Babylon during the exile of the Israelites. In chapter 18, from which our passage came, he speaks of personal responsibility. When his people complained that they were suffering for the sins of their ancestors, for sins that they had not committed, they cried out, "Lord, the Lord's way is not fair." And Ezekiel passionately argues that every generation is responsible for their own actions. God will not destroy Israel for past sins, only for present ones. Rather than cry out against God, Ezekiel urges his people to seize the opportunity afforded them by God's mercy. He made it clear that their situation was not hopeless, if only they would turn from evil and do what is right and good. God would surely preserve them. Just as each sinner is accountable for his or her own wrongdoing, so also are they responsible for repenting and for making a decision about the future direction of their lives. This reading from Ezekiel complements Jesus' parable of the two sons in Matthew's gospel, specifically the actions of the son who said he would not go, but then later went into the vineyard to work. Some background related to today's gospel passage might also be helpful. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. He has already predicted three times about his passion and death, and he's already been at the temple, the most religiously sensitive area in all of Judaism. And he has become furious before this particular part of the passage, and he drove out the merchants and the money changers. Well, this really infuriated the religious leaders of that time, who should have recognized Jesus' prophetic actions through his life, and should have seen the hand of God working in his works and in his words, even in this angry ousting of the merchants. But instead, they were opposed. The opposition to Jesus was getting intense, and soon those same religious leaders would agitate for his death. The chief priest and the elders asked Jesus, "Who gave him the authority to teach here?" Well, this attempt to corner Jesus didn't work. Instead, Jesus used the parable of the two sons, sometimes called the parable of the second chance. But through that, he was going to be teaching his followers, as well as the elders and the chief priest at the temple, truth, to teach them the word, the divine word, but also to admonish those chief priests and elders relative to where they were in their life. So Jesus said there was a father, and he asked his two sons to go out and work in the vineyard. Now, the word vineyard in those days was quite well understood to mean God's kingdom or reign of God. So the first son rudely tells his father he will not go. He will not go and work in the vineyard. But then later he does. He goes in and assist in the vineyard. Well, this son represents those who turned away from God, such as those tax collectors that Jesus mentioned in the parable those tax collectors that the Jews despised for taking money from them and giving it to the Roman Empire. And then also, Jesus refers to the prostitutes, those who were considered to be immoral and sold their services to the Roman soldiers. These and other sinners like them seem to be saying no to God. But when they heard John the Baptist, and as he preached about and taught about conversion, then they changed and they repented. Also, those who had witnessed Jesus' healings and teachings, some of them also had changed their minds, repented, and returned to God. So now we move to the second son. The second son, on the other hand, tells the father just what he wants to hear. Yes, he'll work in the vineyard, but he does not go. He does not do what his father asks of him. The second son in the parable represented the chief priests, the elders, and the other leaders who looked as though they were doing God's will. They were worshiping in the temple. They were keeping up their appearances. But they refused to adhere to John's call to truly work in the vineyard of the Lord. And weren't they also the ones that were supposed to recognize the Messiah and follow him when he came? So the question might be, how might we fit into that parable? Most likely, we embody the attributes of both sons as described by Jesus. On the best of days, you know, we truly make every effort to live out and to follow Jesus' commands and teachings. But then there are some other days, or maybe portions of other days, when we digress and maybe we're deaf to the Lord's call and we neglect what his will is for us. Well, the good news of all of that is, as we heard in the parable today and as we heard from Ezekiel, the good news is that our loving God is always calling to us, always calling us to conversion. God is always asking us to help out in the vineyard of which is the kingdom of the Lord. So here and now, in this liturgy, we are called to go and to serve and build the reign of God. We are to take what we have received, or what we will receive here in the liturgy, and to do it in our lives. Jesus did not say, "Pray this in remembrance of me," or "Preach this in remembrance of me." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that is the heart of the Eucharistic celebration. Eucharist is to be a verb, an action verb. St. Paul reinforces this concept in the second reading. He instructs his church in Philippi to put on the attitude of Christ. In other words, to put on Christ. To put on the compassion, the forgiveness, the peace and love of Christ, and then gift it to others in the community. Paul illustrates how believers, those who have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, are to share those gifts, as he quotes the early Christian hymn. It included, "By emptying himself, taking the form of a servant, being humble." Paul also recognized that this selfless giving is not something easy to do. It entails suffering. And, however, it can also be the path to glory. Well, there are small and there are large opportunities each and every day in our lives to follow Christ even more. And the parable of the two sons, I think, the second chances that are spoken of there, can almost be summarized by this today. And that is, it's more important about what we do, and less important, perhaps, about what we say, especially as it matters in the end. The Lord knows us by the way we follow him.